And we spent a lot of time looking at the 2012 budget, but this year we also looked at these 2011 appropriations, which are now going to affect the way the budget is being dealt with by the Congress and how the administration may react to it. So that becoming the reality, what we actually saw in the 2011 appropriations process is that Congress looked ahead to the 2012 request, said, okay, in that particular account, Mr. President, you've asked to zero it out in 2012. Let's go ahead and do that now in the year 2011. We're just halfway through the year. And so that's bringing that reality forward and, you know, accelerating it so that it's going to have, we think, some impact on how agencies are able to reprogram their programs and, you know, be able to execute on what they have left to do in this fiscal year. And that has a ripple effect even downstream into 2012. As you mentioned, the House has passed its budget resolution from Congressman Ryan, and that has shown a little bit more depression in the actual contract spending that we would anticipate for the agencies to be able to apply in the year 2012. So it's accelerating the reality.
I don't think anybody expects that, including Congressman Ryan. I think he's pretty much said, I know that this plan's not going to go anywhere. The point of it is to set down markers. So what exactly, if I'm at a contractor, I'm at an agency, and I'm trying to anticipate where things might be headed, is all of this so much up in the air because of the political situation that we're in, or are there any, are there trends or themes or whatever that we can take and maybe give us a little bit of an idea what to expect?
Well, I think if you look at what the administration had set out in its first real budget, which was the 2011 budget, some of those real themes were, let's freeze non-security discretionary spending, let's improve government performance, government effectiveness, and let's figure out how to keep the workforce, the blended workforce, in some form of balance, which industry calls insourcing. It's not really called that way in the government. But, you know, looking at those kinds of themes, we're seeing some of those same themes come through, but we're seeing a much more stark view of what agencies have to do, have to be able to execute on. And, I mean, even in the 2012 budget, the president has asked, here's four natural resources related accounts. They have to do with agricultural conservation or wetlands renovation and rehabilitation. And, we can probably combine those four activities into one. So, you know, we're seeing a lot of that already in the budget. Now we're seeing the House saying, you said you could probably take a hit in 2012. We probably ought to not have a 3% growth, but instead a 2% growth. And those are some things that we've been able to measure now in comparing the House budget resolution to what the president's actually asked for in his 2012 budget.
I think it's interesting that you're connecting the continuing resolution to the 2012 budget because, and I'm probably just as guilty as anybody else in my business, but I think we had a tendency as we were working through the whole countdown to shutdown stuff a couple of weeks ago to look at all of these things as individual events and not understand the connection. So I think it's interesting that you're making that connection. As you did that, as you looked at the continuing resolution and connected it to 2012, did anything jump out at you that surprised you as somebody who's been looking at these things for a long time, Ray?
Nothing very surprising, but I've made this comment, and I'm, you know, no offense to the folks in the legislative branch, but I don't think Congress has been very creative yet. And I think we saw even CBO, Congressional Budget Office, sort of suggesting that in the week or so that they took to analyze the final appropriations bill, the one that was the $38 billion in cuts, and basically said, you guys in the House and the Senate really didn't do that much because you took a lot of dollars that were unused or took dollars unobligated. You know, so I just see Congress not yet getting their heads around what the real issues are. I mean, some of the fundamental issues, and okay, we could look at it from that broader viewpoint of entitlements. And, you know, we hear Ryan talking about dealing sometime in the near future with entitlements, you know, whether that's Medicare, Social Security, some of the other entitlements that the government, you know, hands out to people who've earned them. But we see some of those things are not yet, they're not really coming to grips with it. So, I'm not really seeing anything that's really surprising me yet, except that they have kind of accelerated what the president had asked for in 2012.
All right. What are the comments that you made at this event today that I saw tweeted made me hungry? And I'll explain what that means and why it pertains to this discussion instead of just to my belly when we come back with Ray Bjorklund on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Ray's the Senior Vice President, Chief Knowledge Officer at Fed Sources, and we'll continue our conversation about budgets and where they're headed in 2012 on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest is Ray Bjorklund of Fed Sources. Fed Sources today holding an event where they release information about what they expect the budget to look like. The 26th annual Federal Outlook Conference happening today, and today's subtitle was Sharing the Sacrifice, Accelerating the Reality. And Ray here to talk about some of the things that are in the research that Fed Sources has done. And I mentioned before the break, Ray, one of the tweets that I saw come out of this made me a little hungry because it mentioned one of my favorite things, and it happened right about lunchtime. Ray Bjorklund on the impact of GovCon cuts, peanut butter spread evenly across all programs, unlikely. What'd you mean by that other than to get my salivary glands going?
What we were referring to was how the administration is going to have to accommodate these cuts that have occurred now in the 2011 appropriations process. And, you know, the least likely scenario is where among several accounts that an agency might have, where they are able to actually reprogram, and that being a very explicit term in financial management language, reprogram dollars from one account to another to cover some of the cuts that occurred. What we said is second least likely, which is about the peanut butter spread, is that everybody, you know, all the stakeholders for these accounts, which includes you know, federal salary spend, might include military salary spend, other compensation, might include paying the light bills, might include paying for water and sewer, and, oh, by the way, contracts, you know, that you can't just do a pro rata spread of that kind of cut across all elements within an account. And that's why we said peanut butter spread is probably not going to work. What's going to be most likely is that those kinds of expenses in a particular account that are, say, least certain are the ones that are probably going to get cut first. And that often happens to be contract costs. And so that's the point we were trying to make, is that contractors have to be very conscious of those cuts that now the agencies are dealing with and be able to recognize that some of their programs are going to get restructured.
The chain of succession at the Department of Defense has been one of the most talked about issues in Washington now ever since Secretary Gates signed on, I guess, with President Obama and pretty much said up front, I'm not going to do this job forever. We're hearing today that the president will announce tomorrow that he's nominating Leon Panetta to move from the head of Central Intelligence to take over at the Pentagon, and the details on what we're learning about the chain of succession at federalnewsradio.com right now. What is your thought about a former head of the Office of Management and Budget moving to the head of the Defense Department when we're in the budget situation that we're in?
It's some great thoughts, and, you know, I don't know Leon Panetta personally, so, you know, can't speak to everything, but what I sense based on what I saw him doing in OMB, what I've seen him do in the CIA, and under the broader umbrella of ODNI, Office of the Director of National Intelligence, where the intelligence community has consciously tried to reduce the amount of contract support that it is had really blossomed during the post 9/11 run up and in support of the war effort. So I think that, you know, his ability to look at executive management from a budgetary viewpoint, being part of OMB in the past, and what he has done under his roles and responsibilities as CIA in reducing the amount of contractor support is not inconsistent at all with what Secretary Gates has been doing now for a good year and a half. You know, looking at very large programs, attempting to kill and then successfully killing some programs, and looking for, through his defense business board, looking through a broad range of other cost-saving, cost-avoidance opportunities in which they've identified billions of dollars in fiscal 2012. So the comment I was making this morning in the conference was that the legacy that Secretary Gates has now established, I think, has got a lot of legs to it, a lot of momentum, and I think that that's something that, that should be easy for the new Secretary Panetta to pick up on and carry that right through to fruition.
Interesting insight, because that's been the number one question, I guess number two question or 1A behind who will it be, is will he continue what Gates has been doing, and it sounds like you're confident that that will be the case. One other thing I wanted to ask you about, the mentality that everyone is approaching with where we're headed budget-wise is cuts, 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 everything's going to be smaller, and as soon as anybody ever uses any definitive adjective, it can almost immediately be disproven. Tell me if you're seeing opportunities, places where spending might increase at the expense of some of the things, some of the cuts that we've been talking about.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's still a great market for contractors, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars. Some of the areas that we're really seeing expanded opportunity doesn't necessarily mean new contracts, but it means additional contract spending, is in the support of the veterans. For PTSD victims, for general outpatient care, the VA is going to be hiring contract docs and nurses and clinicians to be able to provide that degree of support. There's plus-ups in renewable energy research and development. NOAA is realigning some of its technical services within NOAA to create this new climate service, and whether or not the House and the Senate are going to go along with that fully, we'll see. But it also includes some new supercomputing, where NOAA, of course, has a very large, very sophisticated computing architecture, but there's actually going to be some more money pumped in there. Food safety, FDA, is going to be plussed up, and they're going to need a lot of contract support. Student Aid Administration, an area in the Department of Education, as some of these new grants and loans programs are being developed, they have to be administered. And, of course, the Department of Education wants to make sure the government's going to get its money back. That's why they spend a lot of money on contract support for loan origination, loan servicing. But even more so now with these new, more sophisticated programs, we're going to see more contract support needed in those areas. So that's just a handful of really positive things in the budget.
You have successfully, I think, sewn the silver lining into the cloud over the budget, Ray.